Well, hi Crossway, it's great to be with you today and happy Father's Day to all the dads who are watching. Yes, I woke up a little bit earlier this morning. I enjoyed the spoils of chocolates and jocks and socks, all those Father's Day classics, and then looking forward to a special lunch a little bit later on. And then tonight with my wider family, we have a bit of a Zoom dinner where we can honour my own father and make him feel special. And it is special. Now, I have a beautiful wife and four kids, and so I received a little bit of love this morning and a couple of hugs. And look, I say a couple of hugs because it's not a hug fest in our family. So even on Father's Day, there's one thing that does not appear to have passed down through the Purser lineage, and that's hugging. There's six of us in our family, but we only have two huggers, Tanya and my youngest, Sarah. The rest of us, hey, we can do life without hugging. You see, growing up, I was actively loved by my family. I felt loved, I felt secure, there was warmth in my family, I felt believed in, but we were not a hug-happy family. So I'm not a hugger. I'm more of what you would call a backslapper. Now, as challenging as these COVID-19 restrictions have been over these past months, the one plus for me has been no hugging. I mean, no second guessing, none of those awkward moments, should I or shouldn't I, and hey, social distancing and fist pumps, they have been gold for someone like me, and some of you can relate to that. Long may they reign. But having said that, I know the power of a hug. And so when it comes to my immediate family, Tanya and the kids, it's a space that I need to be attentive to. It's a space that I need to be reminded of and work on as a good hug communicates my immense love for them. How do you feel when you receive a well-timed hug? It's very powerful, isn't it? It sends a message that you are valued, that you are loved beyond measure. A well-timed hug can be really life-giving. And perhaps for some of you, it's been a long time since you received the gift of a loving embrace. You know, it was a loving embrace that the son experienced from the father in the story that most of us know as the prodigal son. And this embrace would have to be one of the most profound and impacting moments that we read about in Scripture. Let me paraphrase the story for you. Feel free to have the Scripture open in front of you there in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. I'm just going to paraphrase the story for you. So we have a father, got two sons, the younger son, the older brother, the younger brother, however way you want to look at it. And the younger son asks at one stage there for his share of the estate, but he wants it now. And the father surprisingly complies and gives him his share of the estate. Now shortly after this, he takes off to a distant land, he lives it up and he spends all of his money on reckless living. Now according to the older brother that we read a little bit later, some of that money was spent on prostitutes. And at some point in time, he finds himself absolutely broke and in a country experiencing famine. So he needs a job. And he finds himself working as a farmhand. And as a part of that job, he's feeding the pigs. But before long, he realizes that those pigs have got it better than he has. And he longs for the pods that the pigs were feeding on. That would be a feast for him. And so it was at that point he knows he's in trouble. At this moment, in the pits of personal despair, he comes to his senses and he realizes that he made a wrong choice, that he needed to go home and apologize to his father. So he comes up with a bit of an apology. He even recites that apology so he can get it right before he heads off. And then he gets up and goes back home. And he goes towards his home, and the father appears at perhaps on the top of the driveway, sees his son coming from a distance off. And the father runs towards the son. And before the son could even apologize, the father throws his arms around him full of compassion and kisses him. And then it's that moment that the son goes with his apology. The son admits that he'd sinned. He'd sinned against heaven. He'd sinned against his father and that he was no longer fit to be called his son. However, the father was only interested in celebrating the return of the son. So he organizes a celebration for the ages, a celebration that everyone would remember, particularly the son. So he organizes the best robe for his son. He organizes a ring for his finger. He organizes sandals for his feet. He even organizes for a fatted calf to be killed and cooked up. And so there's this amazing feast that is put before the family and the guests in honor of the son. And the music was cranked up. There was lots of dancing going on. Yet this was a celebration that could be justified because his son of his was lost, but was now found. He was dead, but now alive. Now, there's a bit of an addendum to this story, and we haven't got long enough to delve into this aspect of the story today. But it was the older son. The elder son is absolutely flabbergasted and full of resentment that his younger brother should have a party thrown in his honor. I mean, after the embarrassment that he caused himself, the embarrassment that he caused the family, that the reckless approach to life and the wastage of all of that money, he can't believe the fact that a party is being thrown for him. What about me? Well, I've done all the right things. But the father, however, teaches the elder son that a celebration is the right and proper response for his return. And that holding his younger son in that loving embrace would be the most powerful thing that as a father he could give his son in that moment. It's a great story, that one. And what Jesus is doing, so Jesus is actually telling this story by way of a parable. It's a great story because Jesus here is revealing the father nature of God by telling a story about a father's love. Now, I know for some people that this can be quite problematic, particularly on a day like Father's Day. See, many earthly fathers have not reflected this image of God's love, and in fact, done the complete opposite and treated wives and children with disdain and absolute disrespect. And some of you may well still be carrying the mental and the physical scars of that. And so this fatherly image may not in many ways sit well with you. And I understand that. I totally get that. So even though we are made in the image of God, in the fallen world that we live in, this image in humans has become disfigured. And so this fatherly image of love becomes distorted in all of us at times. Now for many, and I'm one of these, you have had and still have great parents. Parents who loved you, continue to love you, have supported you, continue to support you, that speak words of life, encouragement into your life. And it's fantastic. They've been really formative in life's journey. And you're the person that you are today because of what they've invested in your life. And for many of us, continue to invest in our lives. But for some of you, that is not the case. You know, as harsh as this might sound, for your own sake, we can't keep pointing to our earthly dads or our earthly parents and their dysfunctional way of life and their approach to life as an excuse for the dysfunction in our own lives. Otherwise, what happens is we just remain stuck, we remain resenting, we remain scarred, and wounds are continually open and reopen all the time. And potentially what happens is we pass that dysfunction on to our own kids, and it continues to move through the generations. However, with our Heavenly Father's empowering love, his all-forgiving embrace, if we fall into that embrace, you know what? Attitudes can change. Forgiveness can be accessed. Forgiveness can be given even when it is undeserved. And our future trajectories can straighten up. So Jesus here, he's pointing us to that love. The love of a Heavenly Father, which is wrapped up in this incredible embrace. Luke 15:20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, then he threw his arms around him and kissed him. What a powerful moment. You know what? It was probably an embrace not unlike this one. Now, this image here that you can see in front of you is actually a picture. It's a reproduction of Rembrandt's painting etched in 1636. And it's titled The Return of the Prodigal Son. And it's his depiction of that watershed moment where the father embraces the son. And it was this picture that led Dutch theologian Henry Nouwen to do an immense amount of soul searching in his life and then write this book titled Return of the Prodigal Son. And this book was based on his personal reflections of the painting and also the biblical story itself. Now Nouwen, he was drawn to this painting. He said, and I quote from the book here, I could not take my eyes away from it. The old man's hands touching the boy made a massive, massive impact on me. See, Nouwen, he'd just finished a lecturing trip. And after its completion, he experienced a devastating lostness or a depression of some sorts. And the father's embrace of the son expressed just what he needed, just what he craved at that moment. He needed belonging. He needed a safe home. So let's take a closer look at that picture. So usually when the parable of the lost son is spoken of, the biggest focus is on the son himself. But one could easily retitle this story, The Father's Love. See, Rembrandt chooses to emphasize the father in his painting. It appears that he's the dominant character here. Look at his facial expression. It's one of love. His posture is one of acceptance, and his embrace is one of compassion and forgiveness. And his hands, they appear soft and warm. There's no sign of harsh judgment here. And after reading the biblical story, it's easy to imagine the father, isn't it, displaying those characteristics. Now, was the young son deserving of such a homecoming? Of course not. See, by asking for his father's share of the estate really meant that he wanted his father's dead. That's right. It was a request full of selfishness. It was a respect. It was certainly a request full of disrespect. So he gets what he wants, and he proceeds to squander all of his wealth by wasting it on reckless living and dubious lifestyle before he comes to his senses. So imagine the state that he must have been in when he returns home. Now, Rembrandt depicts him in well-trodden and dirty feet. He's unshaven, he's scrappy looking, and he's got no cloak on, and boy, he must have absolutely stunk. That stench from hanging out with the pigs. This is a desperate figure, in need of acceptance and in need of forgiveness. So what does the father do? What does the father do on his return? He throws his arms around him and kisses him. Regardless of where he'd been, regardless of what he'd become, how he looked, the decisions that he'd made, how he smelt, the fact that he'd run out of the family, you would think that this young son of his was unhuggable. However, this was his son. And his father finds him irresistible and very much huggable, reminding us of God's immense love for each of us. I wonder if you ever feel like the son, not very huggable. Perhaps you're ashamed at who you've become and the lifestyle you've chosen, the dirt that pervades in your life, the sin that has trapped you, and even the stuff that you've been up to in the past, and that sense that no one could possibly accept me. No one could possibly love me or hug me if they knew what I was really like and the stuff that I have carried and continue to carry with me. Perhaps you even find it hard to love yourself, let alone accepting someone else's love for you. Well, can I encourage you this day, as hard as it might be, can I encourage you to leave that behind and fall into the open arms of the Father's loving embrace? An embrace that says, I love you. I forgive you. And listen for those words. Trust my embrace. Trust my embrace. Or perhaps you've found yourself in a deep, dark hole and life brings you no joy. And hey, through no fault of your own, it is what it is for you right now. And the Father stands before you today with arms wide open, and he invites you into that loving embrace, revealing your immense worth to him. Now, having said that, I know that it would be naive of me and overly simplistic to say to those of you who are in a deep, dark hole right now and doing it tough, hey, all you need is you just need a hug and you'll be right. Now, as powerful as a hug can be, there are other things that we need in life too at times, and I get that. Hey, that's one of the reasons we have life care at Crossway. Life care is such an important aspect to church life and what we can offer our wider community, and all of us for that matter. Offering food rescue and counseling and coaching and financial advice to those who have found themselves in tough places. A practical help, now don't miss this, a practical help that is rooted in the Father's love, pointing people to that spiritual embrace. You see, when we run to the Father, when we fall into that embrace, that is the most powerful tool for life change. Where the old becomes new, where hopelessness turns into hope, where sadness turns into joy, where life now has a purpose, where life now has a companion. Yeah. Interestingly, I saw both this love and life change at work in the home that I grew up in. So my older brother, Gary, is about 7 years older than me. And he was what you would call the traditional runaway son. He rebelled against so much of his upbringing. See, in my household that I grew up in, I had an older sister and an older brother and a couple of parents, and we were loved. We were secure. We were believed in. We were supported. It was a beautiful, loving, warm environment to grow up in. That the best chance, I reckon, of success in life. But my brother still rebelled against so much of that upbringing. Right throughout his teenage years, he chased cheap thrills. He got involved in the party scene. He hung out with troublemakers. He made some really ordinary choices. And at one stage here, at the back end of his teenage life, he found himself in a really dark hole. But you know what? As I reflect back on those days, the biggest thing that stands out for me was the role that my parents played in my brother's life. They prayed for him. And they prayed for him. They kept praying for him. They gave him a loving home even when he rebelled, even when he kicked sand back in their face, and when other parents may have tossed their son out into the street and going, "Hey, you go and fend for yourself. We're not feeling the love here." They never gave up hope of him turning his life around. They gave him a bed still to sleep in. So what a celebration it was in our household when after a series of dark nightmares that my brother was continually having, he repented. He repented of his sin and he turned to God for that loving embrace. 3 a.m. one morning, a moment in time that our family will never forget. 3 a.m. one morning, standing in my parents' bedroom, he wakes them up and he receives a physical embrace from my parents, coupled, more importantly, with a spiritual embrace from his heavenly Father. I'm getting chills even thinking about it now. God had done the convicting. God had turned my brother's life around. However, I will never forget the father-like attributes that my parents bestowed upon my brother. Their role of faithfulness, their role of forgiveness, their role of unconditional love made a huge, huge impact on him. And you know what? Those nightmares, those dark nightmares that he was having regularly, they immediately stopped. Why? Simple. Because he was now living in the light. The darkness had gone, and now the lightness was in and around him, the light of God. I mean, what a great reminder that nothing is impossible for God. And maybe that story is an encouragement to those of you who are yearning for your runaway kids to come back to God. Now, this story, and of course the story of the prodigal son, reminds me that God can restore us no matter what the circumstances. None of us, no situation is beyond the touch of God's grace. And maybe you're in need today. Maybe you're in need of the Father's loving embrace today. But you know what the biggest tragedy in life is? The biggest tragedy is this, that we often run from that embrace. We run from those hands of blessing, and we instead go searching for that love in all of the wrong places. But the Father goes nowhere. The Father awaits our homecoming. Now, Henry Nouwen says this in his book, that leaving home is a denial of the spiritual reality that one belongs to God with every part of their life. Home is the center of my being where I can hear the voice of God that says, "You are my beloved. You are my beloved." And perhaps today God is calling you home. Perhaps today he's calling you into that loving embrace, an embrace that perhaps you've never experienced before. For others of you, perhaps you've experienced it and run from it. And today he's calling you home. And like the son, perhaps it's a moment now to recite a prayer of repentance, and seek the Father's forgiveness. To swallow your pride, to resist the dark enticements of this world that have separated you from God, that have you at arm's length. But now to chase after the Father and allow his love to envelop you. In a moment's time, I'm going to pray a prayer. And for those of you who feel far from God right now, perhaps you feel like you stink a little bit. There's a stench on you. And you feel like you need to reconnect or connect with God the Father. Because life right now is just no good. Life's tough, but it's also a life that's causing you a lot of headaches, a lot of pain. And you have a sense you need to put your life right with God. I want to give you that opportunity now by praying a prayer with you and for you. So as I pray this prayer, why don't you recite this prayer in the quiet of your heart and then give it back to God as your prayer. A prayer that you'll find changes your life from this moment on. Let's pray together. God, I need your love in my life. You know, I've found myself in a dark place. I've done things that I'm not proud of. I've fallen into sinful behaviors and decisions that have caused me pain, that have caused hurt for those around me. And Father, in a sense, there's a stench on me. And I want to be released of that. Father God in heaven, would you forgive me? Would you wash me clean? I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and took all that sin and all that unworthiness and all that stench with him. And by his death, I now have a bridge to you, the Father, a bridge that points me to your loving embrace. And God, in this moment, I choose to fall into that embrace and I dedicate my life to you. Would you take my life and would you fill me with peace and hope and joy? In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. We know what if you prayed that prayer today, there is great celebration going on in the heavenlies, even as we speak. That is such a great thing that you've done. Just like the young son, you were lost, but now you've been found. In the Father's eyes, you have fallen into his eternal, forgiving, and all-encompassing loving embrace. I trust that life for you now will be obviously different. The old is gone, the new has come. For others of you, you know that embrace. You've known that embrace, but you've wandered from it. And perhaps there's some things that you've allowed into your life that has caused a little bit of a distance, a void between you and God. And you want to put that right today as well. Can I pray this prayer with you and for you now? So again, let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and would you pray along with me here? Let's pray. Lord God, I have known that embrace, that loving embrace. Embrace that brings me safety and security and empowerment. But I'm going to be honest before you today, God. I've run from that embrace. And there's some things in my life that I'm not proud of, things that I've allowed in, that I've invested in, sinful things. And I want to ask for your forgiveness, Lord God. And I name those before you now in the quiet of my heart. I name them and just put them out there. And I seek your forgiveness. And God, in this moment, I choose to fall back into your loving embrace and I recommit my life to you. I long to hear those words that you might say to me even now. Welcome home. Welcome home. This is where you belong. Amen. Well, may each of us learn from the Father. What a great reminder we've had today of the Father's love for each of us. May we stretch out our arms of love to those around us, just as the Father has for us. How deep the Father's love is for each of us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mother chosen one bring many sons to glory. Christ. death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my